the day. Those who can, before I continue, those who can sit in meditation posture, so much the better. It is nice to sit and to remember that you sit and to let the thoughts we are sharing come to your sitting, which is open, which is aware, and which is mindful, rather than lounging around. Those who cannot sit, they lean against the sides and be flowers, wallflowers. That's all right. So, remember what we mentioned, what topic it was, what subject it was we mentioned here and then? Not one is good. The subject of pain, remember? We had quite a few things to say about it. Well, I made a few more collections about it. Pain is a very interesting phenomenon in one way. We found out this afternoon that it is part of life. So what is more interesting to me than that what is concerning my life? Now let us see. When I observe how we treat pain, or people in general, then I remember the story of a Sufi master who went from Persia to the borderline, to the neighbor country, back and forth, always with a donkey when he returned over. And the custom officials searched him very thoroughly what he has to declare for custom or what he is smuggling. They never could find any, because he looked into the pockets, into the saddle pockets of the donkey. They looked into the ears of the donkey. They looked into the pockets of the Sufi master. They looked. They looked under the saddle. They could never find any. So, someone, a friend, is asking him, "What are you smuggling?" He said, "I'm smuggling donkeys." So the custom officials looked always in the wrong place for finding out what he is smuggling. It was before them, the object. They couldn't see it. They couldn't understand. In the same way, I feel, we human beings are. We are looking in the wrong place for happiness or for relief of our pain. We want all kinds of things: exercises, pills, doctors, nurses, various things. And then we have that illusion, that idea, when that pain is gone, then I will be relieved. But it isn't so. That pain is never gone. Pain is part of our life. Pain belongs to living, to growing, and to life. Well, I think so far.
Rut börjar med att säga att ni som kan sitta i meditationsställning men som talar är det bra och jakt på hur man sitter. Ni som inte orkar det kan naturligtvis luta er mot väggarna eller så. Bäst är om man kan också lyssna meditationsställning. Och vi hade talat idag om smärta. Och det skulle Rut fortsätta med. Och så berättade hon en historia om en sufimästare som tog åsnor över gränsen. Och tulltjänstemännen tittade hela tiden i bagaget. Men han smugglade naturligtvis åsnor. Och på samma sätt så har vi smärta framför oss, men vi... Ja, hur är det där ihop? Vi försöker få... Vi försöker komma bort från det genom att gå till läkare och liksom piller eller andra flyktmekanismer sådär. Men... No, I understood it. But I didn't understand how it was related to the pain.
Oh, I see. You forgot the clue. Well, in the same way as these custom officials are looking for the object of the custom in the wrong place, looking always in the wrong place. In the same way, we yogis are in relief, looking for the wrong place in order to get relief for our pains.
Vi söker alltså på fel ställe för att få frihet från smärta. Precis som tulltjänstemännen sökte på fel ställe. Och smärta, säger Rut, hör till livet. Det är en sån här grundklang i livet som bara ändrar uttryck.
Yeah, if I only would be relieved, if I only had no pain, I could meditate better. These feelings we have. And even often we consider the pain as an obstacle for meditation. And it is helpful, therefore, to come to a deeper understanding of pain. Everybody experiences pain. Pain, we said, is part of life. So tonight, I want to go deeper into the looking what pain is and how we can deal with it.
Smärta är också ofta ett hinder då vi försöker meditera. För att vi ska komma lite på klarhet med det där, så ska vi gå vidare och prata om smärta.
So, instead of considering pain as an obstacle, it is rather a more positive way to see it, that it is a thing we can perhaps appreciate, that the pain is there and that we have an object for meditation or for concentration. Basically, let's see, for two types of pain. There is one type of pain which gives us an alarm, which gives us a notice that there is danger. Put your hand into hot water, put your hand into fire. That pain comes to us as an alarm. There is danger. Something is wrong. Then there is, of course, the other pain, which is constantly there, which comes from living, and it is in our neck, and it is in our spine, it is in our limbs, in our necks, in our back. These two pains.
Istället för att se smärta som ett hinder, så kan vi göra det till någonting man kan sätta värde på. För det, man kan uppleva känslan av smärtan som någonting man kan koncentrera sig på och meditera över också. Och det finns två typer av smärta. Ena typen av smärta som är en sorts alarm då, och om man till exempel bränner sig eller något är farligt, man har något hett eller någonting är för kallt, så rycker man åt sig handen igen. Men det finns också smärta som alltid är där. Kanske man har ont i nacken eller i knäna eller i ryggen och så vidare.
Ja, yeah, other pains which are really medical cases, an organ is wrong and it alarms, and the pain is a representation of a real danger inside. Then we do something to that, to diminish that pain. We take some medicine, we take some tea, we take some help. But the pain of we are feeling when we are sitting here, sensing it throughout our posture, in our neck, in our shoulders, in our legs, there are pains mostly from this living organism. And the positive way to see it is to get up, to sense it, to know that it is part of my life. Living creates pain, lots of work is taking place within our tissues, within our organism, and that is giving us messages.
Det kan också vara någonting som faktiskt är fel på eller är lite i obalans, något organ. Och det kan vara en inre alarm att någonting är fel. Man kanske tar örter eller andra typer av mediciner. Och det finns också smärta som kommer upp från att vi bara att sitta. Och då kan man kanske gå upp och stå upp och eller att man upplever det och att man ser att leva i sig själv medför smärta.
Pains coming from this posture, holding itself up, is painful. We can sense it. So in a positive way, seeing it is actually what we are doing. We get up, we stretch, we walk. We are having a friendly attitude toward it. We use it as an object of attention. It's no problem. We not to make a big problem of it is the idea. Having a positive attitude toward it, as we said this afternoon, a friendly attitude.
Man kan ha en vänlig inställning till smärtan istället. Den kommer och observera den, koncentrera sig på den.
Mm-hmm. From long sitting, the knee is bent, that hurts. From holding up my shoulders so long, it hurts. Body is not used to hold itself up in such a long position of quiet. Now, but there are other more interesting pains to observe than these two kinds. These are those pains which we come to experience as from long time accumulated tensions, which are due to our unconscious, unmindful ways of living. They come from living unconscious and unmindful. They come from living in anger. They come from living in judging and being critical. They come from that type of living which is very negative, and unskillful. Say that there are there is another more interesting type of pain to note or to notice.
Och det finns också annan smärta som är intressantare att lägga märke till. Det kan vara smärta från som man har samlat på sig under en längre tid och som blir en spänning inom sig. Som man har samlat på sig därför att man har levt omedvetet, levt under inflytande av de här fem hindren då kanske. Vrede och girighet och rastlöshet och frustrationer av olika slag.
Now this also are actually part of our life. For everybody of the human race is living a life like that, unconscious, unmindful, in emotions, in reactions, in judging, in greed, in hatred, in anger, in restlessness, in doubt, in constant craving and condemning. And these forms of living create in the body a tension. They are solidifying the flowingness and lucidity of our body, of our substance. And they're not only creating tensions in our substance, but they also create tensions in our mind. And so we are quite harsh and hard and tensed when we are sitting down to meditate.
Ja, det är just de här upplagrade smärtorna som kommer av att vi lever i känslor som är fördömande och fulla av tvivel och girighet och rastlöshet som skapar spänningar i kroppen och som utgör det största hindret när vi ska sitta ner och meditera.
So what happens when we are sitting down and becoming quiet? Releases are taking place. Mind is touching these attention is touching these knots and tensions accumulated from so long time. Is also in the mind there are the tension starting to release, and that releasing itself we are beginning to sense as pain too. When we come in touch with pain.
Då vi sitter ner och mediterar så kommer dessa knutar, dessa spänningar inom oss som är ihopsamlade under en lång tid kommer upp, och det vi upplever det också som en akut inre smärta.
So we in meditation now we come in touch with this accumulation of pain, of tension, of hardness, and it beginning to release. Now interesting, however, is now to see how we are reacting to this, and the reaction is very habituated. Is a habit or a certain condition which we have developed.
Det intressanta är nu då när det är såna här smärtor och hårdhet och börjar lösa upp sig i vårt sinne, och vi iakttar detta, hur vi reagerar på det. Och vi reagerar ofta utefter ett vanemönster.
And these reactions we have, or these habits we have developed, how we meet these pains, are not very skillful and very helpful to release these old tensions. One of the most common reaction which we have conditioned in ourselves is the feeling of self-pity.
Ja, de här reaktionerna är en vana, och hur vi möter de där smärtorna, det är oftast inte det klokaste sättet att bli av med dem. Ett vanligt sätt att reagera på är att man tycker synd om sig själv.
So the mind takes off. We all know actually this feeling of self-pity. I am the only one. I poor me. I have to suffer so much. I can't do anymore. And the mind gets caught into this idea that you are the poorest creature in this world who suffers. Not knowing that everyone has tremendous similar suffering. But you make yourself special in this feeling. Let the mind brood about it and fortify itself. And before you know, you are believing this and you are caught in it. And you are, instead of releasing the tension, instead of that, you are fortifying and reinforcing the pain.
Ja, man säger alltså, stackars mig, jag kan inte göra något. Det är mest synd om mig, och det förlamar och gör att man i själva verket ökar den här smärtan som kommer upp in igen.
Did you understand? Don't we who can recall this moment where you yourself found yourself in this situation, feeling very pitiful, feeling very sorrow for yourself, feeling so burdened of life like nobody else? Who has that? Yeah, see, we all have that. And how we like that? How do we fortify that? How do we lick it? How do we reinforce that? We get caught. We cannot get out anymore. Mind can get very fast conditioned. That means you think the same thought, the same idea, the same attitude, and then you have made a certain truth of it, a condition for you, where you believe it is so. Self-pity, a very morbid situation, leads to various serious mental sicknesses. And does restrict us in our practice. It restricts us also for life. Very unskillful way of handling pain.
Det här att vi älskar att tycka synd om oss själva förlamar oss. Och istället så går vi in i oss och verkligen gottar oss i det där att tycka synd om sig själv och att bli handlingsförlamad. Och det där är en väldigt sjukligt tillstånd. Can I add something there?
What is?
We have talked about just this and me and my friends. And we made a parallel. Before, the Christian church always said that you're so sinful, you cannot do anything, you are born sinful. But nowadays no one believes in Christianity. So the normal pattern is to say, I'm so hurt by my parents and my school.
Oh,
and
yes, it shifted.
Yes.
It shifted.
So I'm so
damaged.
Yes. I'm totally so I cannot do anything,
right?
Because I'm burdened with so much
yeah, but that doesn't go so much for the pain. This goes more for mental psychological pain and psychological incapacities This goes more for really physical pain, mm-hmm. which is feelable as tension and as real physical pain. Hmm? What you say is, but I don't think it fits quite into this. But it's very true what you. It's true. It has shifted from God telling us that we are sinful and not good. Now we shifted that to that the parents did that to us. Yeah.
I think people need regressions.
They need an object to put it upon. You
it's
see?
Pain or?
Yeah. So this is what we are striving to recognize that the pain are coming from us, from our living process, and it depends therefore on our own attitudes, how we receive them, and also how we understand the pain. Now I am talking about the particular pain which is a tension in the matter, in our body, which we noticed here and still notice, and you have a massage and after a while it is there again. It's a constant company, a constant friend, a constant constant company to us, this pain. I talk about that specific pain which has come from unmindful living, from living which comes from our emotions, from our negative emotions, hatred, doubts, indecision, restlessness, extreme unsatisfactoriness, discontent, anger, all these. And who doesn't live those emotions? We all live them. And in that moment where I'm angry, where I'm doubting, where I'm pushing the world away, there comes a grip to my body, and it manifests itself, what we call tension. And that is not done only in this life, we have done that throughout our other lives. So we are carrying what we call remote karma with us. And now when we sit and become a little quiet and the mind is going to the body, so what we feel very apparent is these tensions, these long time accumulated wrong ways of living, tension. And every day we also accumulate tensions. The moment you walk out of this room and you are not aware that you are doing it, when you are eating and just stuffing it away and not being mindful, in that time you create tensions. You are speaking and talking in that and not knowing what we are talking, but just doing gossip and doing small talk and not aware and not registering, you are creating tensions again. These are present karma or tensions which are created right now. And then we deal also with those tensions which are created through our living before now in other lifetimes. So we have a near karma and a remote karma to deal with. That's a way to explain all your pains, your tensions here. You see, and now we are sitting quiet and sending the attention to it, and it begins to release. Mm-hmm. It's the only way we can get rid of this kind of pain, by coming very close to it. By coming very near in communication with these pains, there we have a chance to diminish them, to overcome them. And it is important because it is, what does it say, tension? What does it say, pain of such sort? It says that I am holding, you see? I am clinging, holding tight, and also the mind is affected by it. So I cannot let go, actually. I cannot allow the stream of life in me as a flowing thing. You know, when we are making exercises, after a while, when I ask, how are you? Oh, I'm feeling lighter. I feel more loose. I feel fresher in body and mind. That means the tension in me, the tenseness in me, in my body, influences tremendously my mental attitudes, my emotional attitudes, my sense of being. So it is important to come into this connectedness and into close encounter with our long time accumulated pains within the body. Now, you get it.
Vad Rut var inne på nu var alltså de smärtor som var helt, som också finns helt fysiskt påtagligt upplagrade i oss, som kommer av att vi lever på ett omedvetet sätt i rastlöshet, tvivel, ilska och så vidare och så vidare. Och det är inte bara från att vi skapar detta nu, utan också från andra liv har vi skapat dessa spänningar. Och när vi sitter stilla då och mediterar så gör vi oss medvetna om de där sakerna i kroppen. Och då stiger de också upp i sinnet. Till exempel så skapar vi sådana där spänningar när vi talar omedvetet utan att tänka på vad vi säger, skvallrar eller att vi går, eller att vi äter utan att tänka på hur vi stoppar i oss. Och det där skapar hela tiden spänningar. Och bara genom att komma nära dem då i meditationen så har vi en möjlighet att utplåna dem. Och vad är orsaken till att de blir då? Jo, det är att man håller i någonting. Man kan inte släppa. Man klamrar sig fast vid olika saker hela tiden. Och det tillåter inte att livet strömmar genom kroppen. Så när vi gör övningar, till exempel yogaövningar av olika slag eller andra kroppsövningar, massage och så vidare, så känner vi hur spänningarna i kroppen löses upp, och då återspeglas det genast också i vårt mentala tillstånd. Så att hela livskänslan blir annorlunda. What was your last words? I said that your whole feeling of life will change.
It influences.
Changes when you. When
it influences the mental and emotional attitudes. And I think that, what was it what I said?
I think it was att det, så det är alltså viktigt att man ger sig tid i att gå in och nysta upp de här sakerna i sig.
So you see, rather than feeling self-pity and someone who is to be pitied and to be regretted and very poor me, to recognize the universality of suffering or of pain. That is a much more positive attitude. And you can see that you are carrying with all other human beings this kind of type of pain, the pain which has tensed my being through unconscious living, through unwholesome living, through all these unwholesome emotional upsets and reactions.
Så när man då sitter och tycker synd om sig själv och själv ömkar sig, så kan man försöka se lite vidare på det och se att alla har detta lidande just genom det här omedvetna, ohälsosamma, emotionellt reaktionsartade sättet att förhålla sig.
He is a quote from a Sufi about pain and a response to self-pity as an alternative. Now this is very difficult to translate, but see whether you get it. Overcome any bitterness that may have come because you were not strong to the magnitude of the pain that was entrusted to you. That's very difficult.
One more time.
I say it again. Overcome any bitterness that may have come because you were not up to the magnitude of the pain, to the strongness of the pain that was entrusted to you by the universe or by life. Very positive. Was given to you as a package, Christmas package, as a sweet. And we can not overcome it so easily. And it is said, don't react in bitterness that you are not strong enough to overcome it. See your weakness that you were not strong enough to stand that pain which was entrusted to you. Entrusted, that's a very nice word. So now you try to tell them.
Ja, ungefär att man skulle övervinna all bitterhet som man kunde få för att man inte hade styrkan att övervinna eller klara av all den smärtan som anförtroddes åt en av livet.
So what it is saying is, accept the pain. Don't fight it, don't battle it. It is part of life. It has become entrusted to you from all other karmic lives. We cannot help it. But what we can do at this moment, we can decondition, not the pain, but we can decondition our attitude toward it. And in that, the pain deconditions, reduces.
Vad det säger är alltså att vi inte ska kämpa med smärtan, utan vi ska försöka avbetinga oss vårt förhållande till smärtan.
Another good positive attitude is to take to the following image, like the mother of the world, of the universe, that carries the pain of the world in her heart. Each one of us is part of this heart, and therefore endowed with a certain measure of cosmic pain. Take another image as a positive attitude toward pain. Like the mother of the world that carries the pain of everybody in her heart, of the world in her heart, each one of us therefore is in her heart and therefore endowed with a certain part, certain measure of cosmic pain. Cosmic pain. That pain which comes to us from long, long lives. That's the attitude we are working on it, you see. Not just so that we may, next time I fall into that self-pity, awake and see it in a different light. That is awakening of the mind, coming to an entirely different attitude than I'm conditioned.
Ett annat förhållningssätt att se på smärtan var att man kunde, om det är så att eller om världens moder eller kosmos moder har all världens smärta, samlade smärta i sitt hjärta, så har hon också oss, var en av oss, i sitt hjärta, och har också då gett oss en liten del då av den här världssmärtan, så att vi kan dela den.
So recognizing the universality of pain is actually a great learning for us. Is meeting the pain as a learning.
Se det universella i att lida gör oss att
inspiring teaching.
Ja, att det kan bli, att vi kan lära oss någonting utav det på ett inspirerande sätt.
So it, the possibility for us exists rather to be in reaction to the pain and negativity and to build up new karma and new tension and new pain. The possibility exists here by changing our attitude to a more positive, accepting, open mind, that we are receiving in that pain a learning, a teaching, something to grow with.
Så att istället för att reagera på något negativt sätt, så kan man ändra attityd till en mer accepterande, öppen, välkomnande attityd till smärtan, med vissheten att man kan lära någonting av den och att man kan växa med den.
So, we are called here to experience or to take the life, to experience the universality of life. And to meet it in positive attitude, in perhaps joy even, or pleasantness, rather than as something to be burdened by. It's just part of life. Remembering it is important. So, another habit we have developed, in which we are conditioned how to react to pain. Who knows that? Very important.
Fear.
Fear. Right. It's actually stronger than the reaction of self-pity. Any time the mind pulls away from of the pain, in fear, it is creating so much more a pain and discomfort, and builds up defenses, and fortifies and hardens not only body also mind. Hardens our tissues, hardens our nerves, hardens everything about this. This substance, and the mind also, and this can be a tremendous barrier for any emotion, for any mental attitude.
Ett annat sätt vi reagerar på smärta är genom, istället för att tycka synd om oss själva, är genom rädsla. Vi blir rädda och då kommer det upp försvar som gör att vi förhårdnar, spänner oss i både i kroppen och i sinnet och i hjärtat, och det blir ett hinder för oss att kunna ta emot både ett öppet tänkande och känslor, levande känslor.
Yeah, you see, when we pull away from the fear, then we are closing up. We are isolating ourselves, not only from this body. We isolate ourselves from the event in which we are in. We cutting life off, creating more pain in this. It is an what it all says is this attitude, this pulling away from pain. We create deeper chairs, more comfortable chairs, more comfortable beds, more comfortable cars. Everything more comfortable can become endless. And it all comes and arises from the fear of pain. We do prevent the fear, the pain already before it has arisen.
Det här att vi genom rädslan förhårdnar inom oss, gör oss till öar, isolerar oss så att livet inte kan strömma genom oss. Och det finns en stor ovillighet att uthärda smärta, att överhuvudtaget uppleva den. Det finns en mani på att komma undan det genom att göra mjuka fåtöljer och mjuka stolar och mjukare sängar och så vidare, massor av sätt alltså. Och på det här sättet så skapar man egentligen ännu mer smärta.
So pulling away with fear or out of fear from pain is not a very skillful, very good way to relate to pain. We are building up new barriers from our life and keep away from learning, from openness, from flowingness. The Buddhist tradition says life is the great ground for enlightenment, and it is so because of its pain. So in other words, we are asked here to learn from pain, to see that pain is something part of life from which we should learn, which we should get in contact with and in right attitude and relatedness live with it, not being self-pitied, not pulling away in fear. So part of life, live with it as friends, as we said this afternoon. I wanted just this evening to go a little bit deeper into it with you, so that it really will strike when we are finding ourselves in pain, in these habitual reactions toward our pains.
Ja. Så genom att fly från smärtan så skapar vi ytterligare barriärer som hindrar och så att vara vår öppenhet och vårt flyt i livet. Och det finns ett buddhistiskt ordspråk som säger att livet är den stora grunden för att bli upplyst. Och upplyst blir man just på grund av att smärtan finns. Och det här säger oss då att vi kan lära någonting av smärtan. Ge oss in i den. Och leva med den som en vän. Och inte dra oss undan i programmerade reaktionsmönster. Som vi vanligt av vana gör.
So it is because of the mixture of pain and pleasure in this world, in this life, that we can come to enlightenment. And it depends how we are relating to it. We pulling away from it out of fear, we are missing the chance to really look at life, to really embrace life as it is, as it comes to us, with all its contents, with all its forms of unpleasantness and pleasantness. Because of those two, we can come really to deep understanding and relatedness to life, because pain is part of life.
Mm. Livet består just av som grundförutsättningar smärta och glädje då. Och det är ur dem som vi lär oss och har möjlighet att bli mer upplysta. Och det gäller då att se att det här, att livets mynt har två sidor och inte försöka fly den ena.
What it all points to it is that instead of shrinking, like self-pity is a shrinking, fear is a shrinking, a turning away, is that we are invited here to open, to be receiving that what life presents.
Mm. Båda de här reaktionerna, att leva med självmedömkan eller i rädsla, det är ett sätt som får oss att dra samman, att krympa. Och vi inbjuds nu med det här synsättet att öppna oss och ta emot det som livet ger istället.
And that would be a very skillful way of handling pain.
Det är det skickliga sättet att ta emot smärta.
This willingness to open up, to receive, to accept and to understand.
Genom att acceptera och öppna sig och förstå.
So pain in a very universal way, all our discomfort, all our uncomfortableness is actually a invitation for learning. It's an invitation for open our minds. It's an invitation to decondition ourselves.
Ja, all den här inbjudan alltså att ta emot de här upplevelserna på ett öppet sätt, och därigenom istället för att reagera ta emot dem och avprogrammera, avbetinga oss vårt vanliga sätt att förhålla oss.
And to that be is necessary what we often mention, the tenderness and softness in ourselves, to meet this condition in us with a mind which is not reactive and in anger or in condemning, but which is tender and soft and as I said, open. Very important, soft and gently, to feel your condition of pain, of discomfort, instead of rushing against it, instead of building up barriers of defense and desires right away to change. That is not the right attitude toward it.
Genom att möta den här smärtan på ett ömsint, mjukt sätt kan vi hålla oss kvar i livet.
Allowing it.
Tillåta det. Istället för att dra ihop oss, krympa, försöka fly eller vilja ändra omedelbart till någonting annat.
You know, many people have become enlightened when they were giving in into tremendous pain they had, and just being open and tender to it, and having the courage to accept it, and to bring the mind again and again into these places of pain and congestion. And they had in that marvelous object of attention for the mind to come to collectedness, to concentration, to quiet, and to a tremendous balance. And enlightenment happens when the mind in all its aspects is very, very balanced, and the body too.
Många personer har till och med kommit till upplysning just genom en otroligt stark smärta, kanske på grund av en sjukdom eller så, som de har varit tvungna att ge efter för, att acceptera, och då upplöst och kommit in i tillstånd av helt lugn och frid och balans.
Mm-hmm. There is a natural ability in the body to relax and to balance and to accept. It is happening when the mind is coordinating to that. When the mind gives up being fearful of the pain, when the mind gives up reacting in self-pity or building up defenses or trying to battle it, it's relaxing into it. The body does it if we allow it. Have you noticed that sometimes in our exercises here? When we allow and give up our attitudes, our thoughts, then it becomes lighter in us. Then it becomes flowing. Then it becomes more gentle. And it becomes more healthy, more balanced.
Sinnet har en naturlig förmåga att låta hända, att släppa och att vara lugnt om vi ger sinnet chansen att ge upp, att slappna av. Och kroppen gör det om vi tillåter den till det. Och också om vi ger upp våra tankar så i olika övningar, så märker man hur det blir mer hälsosamt och mer balans, mer flyt.
Mm-hmm. Another form of pain we are meeting here when we meditate especially is that we are tapping on pains or on tensions which we don't feel, which are unconscious. which are so remote and so tight that they are not even feelable to us. But the moment the mind becomes in balance and more in quiet and is touching these areas, it begins to soften and it begins to release, and that is also a form of pain and painful. This beginning to open of the tightness.
Mm. Vi har också, då vi sitter stilla i meditationen, så rör vi också på smärtor som är djupt omedvetna och som kommer fram och blir medvetna.
And that is actually our greatest obstacle. Those pains which we don't feel, which suddenly, as you sit for half an hour or a short while, suddenly you begin to feel a pain. And it does not come from sitting so much. It is an old friend which lives in us for a long time, unconscious. The quiet mind is a very strong mind, strong force, and begins to release it. And this uncoiling of the pain, of the tension, we experience as pain. And therefore, it's a process actually which is quite long lasting, because we have a lot of this unconscious tensions in us. And that is why students who sit 10 courses and 15 courses and 20 courses still say, ah, it's very painful. I still have pain. Because it is the constant releasing of old tensions which takes place. And for this, the mind has to be very tender and very quiet and sharp. And the sharper we make it, the more we are sending our attention to this living organism, the more we soften it, the more we make it tender, the more we make it flowing. Really what it really is, a stream of flowing energy. But right now we are solid, we are frozen up, and that's why our minds are constantly in so much turmoil, because this substance is not the flowing energy with which the mind can flow. It is somehow pushed out of this out of this hardness. In a hardened body, there cannot live a tender mind. Mind is tender, is soft, is intangible, is very intangible, yeah, very fine stuff. And when we are hardened and tight and frozen, there the mind cannot flow and be in conscious co-stream with the original physical energies. So what we are doing here in meditation is making this sensitive, making this hardness of body dissolving, soft and tender, and that happens through constantly sending energies of the mind to it, so that all these old accumulated tensions, pains, frozen upness, solidifications can come into a flowingness, into the stream of energy.
Mm. Det är alltså en mycket lång process att, som vi arbetar med, i att hela tiden då frigöra gamla spänningar. Och om vi gör sinnet eller vår uppmärksamhet mycket skarpt och koncentration skarp, då blir mindet mer levande, mer mjukt och mer flytande. Och ju mer kraft vi ger åt det, ju mer kan vi lösa upp de här förhårdningarna, det här djupfrysta, fossilartade och bergtagna kvaliteterna inom oss.
We let them work, huh?
Ja, just det. Genom stillheten alltså i oss så blir vårt sinne mer mjukt och det hårda löses upp genom att vi blir medvetet om det, hur det träder fram. Och ja, det var väl just det. Hårdheten upplöses alltså genom vår skärpta koncentration, och de där kvaliteterna löses till liv igen.
Take the process of fasting. We all know that. When what happens is a lot of intoxicants release and come out, and that is very discomfortable in the first days of fasting. And in the same way, but let me say this, and what really, however, happens is that the intoxicants get released and that a process of healing takes place. In the same way, the meditation practice works upon this solidifiedness in our body. We are sending the mind force to it, and gradually the toxicants, the hardness, the frozen upness releases, tension releases, pain releases, body tension and mind tension.
Om vi lägger märke till om vi fastar, så mår man de första dagarna ganska illa, kan till och med blir ganska sjuk av att kroppen då gör sig, så småningom när den inte får någon mer mat, så gör den sig fri från de gifter som finns upplagrade i kroppen. Och på samma sätt då när vi går in i stillhet genom ordfasta och meditation, så stiger också de här kroppsspänningarna och också mentala spänningarna då fram på samma sätt.
Så the most important thing here is perhaps to learn that it is the mind attitude and the mind which can release this and can heal, then rather than anything else, the softness, the tenderness, my openness of mind, my accepting, my not battling with it. My willingness to accept the discomfort, to understand the universality of pain, all this should be in our minds when we are dealing and facing these kinds of pain.
Det är just vår attityd som kan verka läkande, genom att vi är mjuka och öppna och ej inte krigar, utan lever i en villighet att lida och att möta det som är.
yeah, I think so. I would say the key word for all this is allowing, permitting, and then you influence both the body and the mind. Both gets healed, allowing. And I think I tried you get that idea, you get the experience in all what we are doing. We speak of balancing, we speak of permitting, of allowing, and out of this attitude you will always find some way to meet this pain, to do even the right thing on the bodily level. I give you a lot of examples how to deal with it. I wish that you really take this serious and not just take it as a training in this class. Before you come down in the morning, 5:30 or 6:00, you should have done 5 minutes or 15 minutes of some kind of practice of opened up yourself, allowing the body to flow. Not only rely on that what we are doing here. Who does it a little outside of here? No one, but hardly anyone. You rely just what we do here. And most of you, I almost can bet on that, will forget about that and slump back in your self-pity, into your fear of pain, into your resistance, into your calamities and complaining and defending it. So remember this. It is up to us. You are the one who is the master, who can deal with it and can change and can alleviate this condition in our life from which we suffer. It's not just the physical pain that it is so bad, but these particular pains also are tightening up our minds. And a tight mind is reactive, is angry, is doubting, is hateful, is greedy, is not harmonious, you see. So though what we are doing is very wide connected, it's not just or what we are speaking about, it's not just about a pain which I want to talk about to get rid of. It is that discomfort within a human being which comes with life and comes from other lives, which is, when it is not handled rightly, conveying its power of hardness to the mind too. And we are getting locked in, shrinking rather than open up and expanding. Pardon?
How in practice it?
Well, that's what we are doing every day.
In the morning, five minutes.
Oh, well, you take one of the exercises which we're practicing, stretching or standing and rolling your head or doing something with your shoulders or lifting one part, lie on the floor or do anything. There is lots of ways I have practiced with you. Some are even yoga teachers here, they should know. Stand on tiptoeing, walk back and forth. Very often I do that, tiptoe before I do anything, out of bed, before the mind comes in, ooh, again, terrible, and I have to go down and sit. Awful, why am I here? You see, that's our reaction often. Not only here, it's every day when we get up. Wake up to that reaction. That is already building up new tension. You see? Instead of that, may all beings awake happily. See? It doesn't cost any, even. It's free. Lift your toe. Turn it around. Tiptoe. Walk on knees. Do something. Free yourself. Put a blue ribbon on your big toe and wiggle. Do something which takes you out, which goes counter of this conditioned reaction. See? That's what I want to get in. At it. That's the way we get more and more tangled up in our own misery, so to speak. We are actually creating all that. It has nothing to do with the circumstances. Remember, next time you get up, counteract it right away. If you don't have a better thought, may all beings awake happily. Say it a few times till something else comes in your mind. Fill the mind positively. And then the body opens up. And then you see that it is really actually you aren't feeling so well because of this pain and that and the headache and this. So when the mind is loosened, it will find a better approach or encounter with that heavy body, you see? It's the mind which makes the body so heavy. And very important to see that. Most people have no idea that these pains all here have something to do with my mind. They might even be that far regressed that they put it on the poor grandfather. So, well, see what you can do with that.
Ja.
You listen, he does it right.
Nyckelordet var som sammanfattning nu då att mer låt gå, nu var nyckelordet låt gå eller tillåt och stäng inte av smärtorna då. Och man kan ju också göra, det är viktigt också att vi gör själva, inte bara litar till de övningar som vi gör här, utan att man kanske gör på eget hand, på eget bevåg, gör övningar som går emot, så att säga, de där tendenserna i oss. Att vi kanske sträcker på oss eller gör yogaövningar bara 5 minuter på morgonen innan vi kommer hit ner. Och det är vi som bestämmer och handskas med de här sakerna, och det är vi som kan göra något åt att vi lider. Och om vi kan till exempel få de här spänningarna lite ut ur kroppen, så får vi också ett mindre spänt sinnelag. Eller ett mindre låst tänkande. En rörlig mjuk kropp har också ett rörligt, mjukt tänkande. Det är svårare då för girighet, hatfullhet och ha begär att få på fäste. Det här obekvämheten, alltså att det är lite lidande att leva, att det är lite jobbigt och sådär. Att livet i sig själv är i sin natur otillfredsställande. Det har en tendens att smyga sig in då, inte bara i våra kroppar och bli spänningar där, utan också i vårt tänkande och i vårt sinne. Om vi inte ger akt på det. Om vi istället ger akt på det och ser hur det verkar i oss, då kan vi motverka det och utvecklas vidare. Om vi till exempel vaknar upp och mår dåligt eller känner att det är sorgtungt, så kan man till exempel säga då att må alla varelser vakna upp och vara lyckliga. Man kan till exempel gå på tå tvärs över golvet. Alltså att man gör någon sorts mothandling. Att man Rut föreslog att man skulle binda ett blått silkesband runt lilltån och vifta med. Att vi gör någonting alltså som är som att vi skapar en sorts motenergi där mot det här låsta tänkandet som vi har. Och att vi fyller sinnet med någonting positivt istället. Om vi kan hålla sinnet levande med ett levande tänkande så skapar vi faktiskt också mindre rent fysiska smärtor i vår kropp.
So it depends upon how we relate to pain. I'll give you an example. A Sangha friend, a carpenter, on one of the machines cuts off a part of his tip of the finger. It's very painful. So after his bending and aid by the doctor, he now has tremendous pain. And I tell him to go into that pain and to accept it and not be fearful and concentrate. Let the mind become one-pointed to that and experience the different sensations of pain. And he did that. And he said, "How are you this morning?" "Wonderful," he said. "Wonderful, I'm blissed out. The pain is my sub-object of concentration. I have very good concentration. I am never without sensations. Feelings are always there. I have a wonderful object for my concentrating the mind. In fact, I is nothing else existing except this. So I'm always pulled there. Even if I want to think somewhere else, the pain is there." So he felt very good about it. Felt blissed out. Very good. But sometimes when the concentration, you can get tired too and despairing. Sometimes when the concentration collapsed, he describes, when he was restless and impatient with it and just giving ideas and his thoughts to the pain, not in concentrating form, but in his thinking about and seeing his position, and he couldn't carpent anymore. He couldn't do any. He was confined to just holding his finger like that. On the right hand, he could hardly do anything else. He said, then, the moment the concentrated mind collapsed, it became very uncomfortable. Everything went. It was sheer discomfort and sheer displeasantness because a mind came in, told him of various things. So it is of self-pity, fear was in, what will happen. The self-pity that he had only half a nail now or half a finger point, all the worries came in and he was out of his peace and his equanimity. Shows us how mind and attitude and concentrated mind, balanced mind, can hold the situation. Can hold us in balance.
Det viktiga är alltså hur vi förhåller oss till smärtan. Det var en vän här till Rut som hade en olyckshändelse och klippte av sig spetsen av ett finger. Och det gjorde naturligtvis väldigt ont. Och Då fick han anvisningar att gå in i smärtan och att koncentrera sig på det och uppleva alla olika skiftningar och nyanser av den där smärtan. Och han gjorde det då och upplevde då att det blev ett helt utmärkt koncentrationsobjekt. Han hade hela tiden med sig. Han var hela tiden påmind om att han skulle koncentrera sig på det, för det var så påtagligt, det gjorde ju så mycket ont. Så att hela tiden när han började tänka på någonting annat eller vara drömmande sådär, så rycktes hans uppmärksamhet tillbaka så att han var närvarande. Och då upplevde han inte smärtan så med sånt lidande. Men om han var trött och ur form, och om hans koncentreringsförmåga kollapsade, då blev smärtan nästan outhärdlig. Och inte bara smärtan från fingret, utan smärtan från hans självmedlidande och självömkan och så vidare. Oron störde fullständigt all friden, och all balans som man tidigare hade känt var borta då. Så ett koncentrerat sinne kan, om vårt sinne kan bli stadigt och koncentrerat, kan det hålla smärtan borta.
So there are obviously two ways for us to meet pain and to meet my condition, which has to do with pain. Whether it is pain which comes from old accumulation, old karma, or whether it is pain which comes through some events of living. There are two ways of meeting it. Either shrinking away, fearful, or in self-pity, or you are open and you allow and you trust the situation. That is a quality which is very good to cultivate, that trust to life. It's part of me, it is happening through my living, and I'm trusting it with accepting, with my healthy mind, meeting it. Trusting and patience we are to cultivate in this acceptance and allowing. Nothing can be then any more so bad in life. It's not a matter of of being grim about it and reactive in anger and pushing it away. Toward all what life gives us and presents and comes through us through living, the openness is the most skillful way to live it in openness. Not so much because it is good and it's morally good and perhaps it creates better relationship to myself and to others, but for the one reason it is furthering and helping my unfolding, my maturing in mind, my growing up, my manifesting my real potentials as a human being. The calm, balanced, clear mind. Yes. And that's enough.
Mm. Så det fanns alltså sammanfattningsvis två sätt att förhålla sig till smärta. Det ena var då att man krympte med den i rädsla eller i självmedömkan. Och det andra var att man förhöll sig öppen och tillåtande. Att man litade på livet och mötte den med tålamod. Och den här öppenheten är alltså det mest skickliga eller mest gynnsamma sättet att leva, som ger oss en möjlighet att mogna och att utvecklas och att förverkliga de möjligheter som vi har i oss.
Another thing which helps
till sitt fulla värde, ja.
Is the sense of humor in all that. This is our life. This is the way it is. There are ups and downs. There are pains. There is disease. There is discomfort. And even when there is pleasantness there, when there are highs and ups, they are just the absence of the unpleasantnessness and pains. So there is a certain humor to see that. If one isn't there, the other is there. And you find yourself in this up and down as somebody who relates to it and understands, see the universality in it. And there is a certain humor in it, not necessary to be grim and self-pity about it and fearful and shrinking away from life, contracting.
Det är viktigt att vi behåller en, vi ska utvecklas att vi behåller en humor. Att vi ser att sinnet går upp och ner och att det hela tiden ändrar sig tillstånden. Och är det inte det ena så är det det andra. Och är det andra så snart blir det det ena.
You see, I think in the first day we spoke about what Vipassana meditation means. It means just that. To come to understand my living, my condition, my relatedness to myself better. And pain certainly is one aspect to which I have or are relating all the time. But the practice of such a mental training is, the purpose of such training is to come to a righter, a more skillful relating to all what is in us, to awaken to how we are handling our life. Now tonight I spoke with you and shared how we can handle and how